From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to the phone lines. Many of you hanging on. First, Carolyn, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Carolyn.
Greetings, Mr. Hank.
Hi.
I have been listening to you for a long time, and I am also a financial support
supporter
of the truth that you teach. My question is about Jesse Duplantis and his teaching about God's healing.
Yes. Well, you know, his teaching is false teaching with respect to healing, and it's also quite blasphemous. Before I kind of parse out what he is saying and show why what he is saying does not comport well with Scripture, let me play just a couple of clips. Here's an example.
People ask me all the time, Brother Jesse, I've been watching you for years. I've never seen you sick. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I use the evidence that God has given me against the devil when he tries to put sickness on me. Let me just give you a revelation. When the devil tries to put sickness on me, you know what I say? Jesus, take your shirt off. He go, what? I said, take your shirt off, Jesus. And Jesus takes his shirt off, and I tell the devil, you see them stripes? By his stripes, I am healed. You understand? I got evidence that I am healed. Hallelujah. It ain't got nothing to do with feeling it. It ain't got nothing to do with me feeling it. It's got everything to do with Jesus' back. So all you got to do is stand up and say, I got evidence that I'm healed before I ever got sick.
Well, you note there, Carolyn, that he has the crowd whipped up in a frenzy. But they are really not thinking clearly, or certainly not thinking biblically, because the whole idea that is communicated by Isaiah in Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes you are healed, does not have to do with physical healing, but rather has to do with spiritual healing. In fact, if you look at the context, Isaiah says he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah could hardly have made it clear that he had spiritual healing in mind. He communicates that Messiah Christ was to be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And of course, Peter builds on that theme in the New Testament when he says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. So again, Jesse has everyone whipped him to a frenzy, but they ought to be testing what he's saying in light of Scripture. If they did that, they would find out that he has twisted the Scriptures to teach something that is decidedly dangerous. The basic idea is that symptoms are a ploy of Satan to fool people and therefore deny the symptoms.
Okay, so we are not physically healed, we spiritually healed?
Yeah, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed, said Isaiah. Now, certainly, it is possible for God to heal us. We're not suggesting that God cannot heal or that God does not heal, but healing is not normative, and the kind of healing that is promised to us comes in the new heavens and the new earth, where there we will be every whit whole, which is to say that the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we also. But in the meantime, we're all going to die of our last disease.
Okay, so like when we get ill and go to the hospital and this and that, and we claim that we're healed, isn't it God that's healing us?
Well, God certainly can heal us, but the reality is that how many times do we see anyone who is resurrected from the dead? Or how many times do we see people really healed? Let's imagine someone has lost their leg in the war. How many legs have we seen grow back on? The answer is we don't see that. And certainly we would see that kind of healing if healing was normative. So while God can certainly do that, the norm in life is that we all get sick and eventually we all die. What we're looking for is not perfect health in this life, but perfect health in the life to come. So we look forward to what we do not have, as the New Testament writers put it. We yearn for it expectantly. It's something that we do not yet have, but something that we look forward to.
Okay, so will we be saying, well, I know that my God is a healer. That's not right. I know I've been under Jesse DePlanis sometime hearing what he was saying.
Yeah. Well, again, I think it's important, Carolyn, to realize that God can heal because God can do all things. But the natural order of things is that sickness is part of the human condition. Death is part of the human condition, that we look forward to resurrection. In the meantime, we're all going to get sick and we shouldn't deny our symptoms. I once had a guy call me on the broadcast and I wrote about this. His name was Kirk. And I'll never forget, he called me from San Marcos, Texas, and his story left this lump in my throat. What had happened, his mother had migrated from Pentecostalism into the Word of Faith movement, started listening to people like Jesse DePlantis. And when a lump appeared in her breast, she purposed to deny the symptom, and thus she rejected medical treatment. And she was so committed to the faith message that even as the tumor continued to grow, she stood her ground. And it wasn't until the tumor had become a weeping sore, which consumed most of her breast, that she finally looked for medical attention. But by that time, it was far too late. She died 6 months later. And even then, people in the Word of Faith movement were saying that she would be resurrected from the dead. And of course, this really stunned her son, because he said it sickened him to watch people from her church come to the front and praise her for what she had done and for the tenacity of her faith. And Kirk found this mind-boggling because she had denied her symptoms. If she had not denied her symptoms, if she had sought medical attention, she might be alive to this very day.
Okay, because I recently had major back surgery.
Uh-huh.
And I've come a long, long ways, and I believe that God is healing me.
Well, and it may very well be. I'm not doubting that God can heal, Carolyn, again, as I mentioned
right,
a number of times. But what I'm saying is that we don't want to deny symptoms. We want to make sure that we avail ourselves of the medical technology that is available today, and we should never distort the scriptures as Jesse DePlantis has.
I understand now.
Okay.
I do, yeah, and I do, and I'm not denying any medical advice, pills, and all of this. And I am getting better and better.
Well, that's wonderful, because God works through means, and those means often involve medical technology. Thank you so much for calling me today.
And I love you, and I believe in you. And I'm going to be sending some more money.
Well, bless you. Bless you. Thank you for not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. You know, this Jesse DePlantis, he is one scripture torturer after another. Here's another example.
I love this verse of scripture. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, that's Psalms 107, verse 2. Before that was, when that was written, nobody was redeemed like we are today. Yet God was calling those things which be not as though they were. So I'm going to call those things which be not as though they were and say, today, you're going to get saved. You're going to get healed. You're going to get out of debt. You're going to get blessed. Hey!
And again, he's taking a passage out of Scripture, because when he says that you are going to get the things that you say, or you can call those things that are not as though they were, If you actually go to the biblical text, you find out that we are not to do that. It is God, not we, who calls those things that are not as though they were. So again, he's prostituting a biblical text. And this is called script torture or scripture twisting. And this is the art form that many of the Word of Faith teachers have made out of it. They're so subtle that the people clap and they cheer and they don't realize that he has just set the scripture on its head or turned it into a wax nose so that it will communicate whatever he wants it to communicate, as opposed to taking out of the scripture what the Holy Spirit has placed in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. We are coming up to a station break. Do remember that your support is deeply needed, deeply appreciated. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We can only do what we do when you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back again in just a moment with more answers.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI. And stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
If you're not horrified, you should be. Because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Oh, thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone callers. Next up is Dodson. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Dodson.
Yeah, how you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
I just needed a clarification in one question.
Sure.
We have been told and taught of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and it looks to me now that there is an evolution of that configuring everything to be one God. And mostly the Pentecostal church have taken it that there is only one God in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the only God. Now, my question is this. If Jesus is one God, or God incarnate, why did God experience death? And secondly, if Jesus experienced death and was in the grave for 3 days, who was overseeing the world when God was dead for 3 days?
Yeah, well, first of all, God was not dead. In the incarnation, Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. And so the human body of Jesus Christ died. But certainly he did not cease to exist. In fact, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." So the whole idea that Jesus died and therefore God no longer existed is simply false. And it is false on the basis of something you mentioned in the prologue to your question, and that is the Trinity. The Trinity is something that we apprehend in Scripture. I certainly would not in any way say I comprehend it, but I apprehend it. The Scriptures teach us that there's only one God. So with respect to the nature of God, God is one. The Christian faith is fiercely monotheistic. But the Bible teaches very clearly that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and moreover, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Therefore, what the Bible is teaching us is that there's one God revealed in three persons, person used in the sense of identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead or subject-object distinctions within the Godhead. So we might say there's one what and three who's. Again, I think it's important to underscore the fact that this is something that I do not comprehend, I only apprehend. Now, if the Bible were teaching us that there's one God and three gods, that would be an obvious contradiction. I wouldn't bow my knee before a contradiction. But when the Bible teaches us that God is one in terms of his ontology, his nature or essence, and three in terms of interpersonal relationships within the Godhead, that is not a contradiction. It boggles my mind to try to sort it out, but it's not a contradiction. Again, it's one what, having to do with nature or ontology, and three who's, having to do with interpersonal relationships. So that's not a contradiction, but it is something that is beyond my comprehension. But as I've said many times on this broadcast, I'm not philosophically driven, I'm biblically driven, and thus I am bowing my knee before God's self-revelation of himself, not only to me, but to all that apprehend his word. If I, as a finite creature, could fully comprehend God, then God would be too small. And I think oftentimes our God is too small because we have not grown in our apprehension of God.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bonnie. She's listening in Missouri. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Hank. Hank, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hank, I try to educate myself by listening to you every day, and God's taken me to a deeper growth in him.
Mm.
But tank. I'm in a Bible study. I have been for quite a while. And a man joined our Bible study last week. And he said that he talks to his deceased wife through a medium. And I said, well, can you show me in the Bible? Because I ask people when I don't understand something, can you take me there in the Bible to show me that it's okay? And he said, it's not in there. And I said, well, I can't buy that then. And then he went on to say he believed in reincarnation. And I said, well, I definitely don't believe in that. But anyway, this other lady that seems to know quite a bit, she said, was it Jacob that could interpret dreams?
Well, yes. And, Daniel had the power to interpret dreams, but not of himself. But this was a gift given to him by Almighty God. And this is not normative for us today. But as far as the first part of your question, the Bible is emphatic with respect to mediums. In fact, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving to you, Moses is writing this on behalf of God. This is under inspiration. Do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. So note the word detestable. And then Moses goes on to say, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, and then to the point, or who is a medium, or spiritist, or who consults the dead. So the Bible in Deuteronomy is emphatic that we should not be involved in these kinds of things. This is not part of a biblical worldview. In fact, it's antithetical to a biblical worldview. So you are right in pointing out that this is a practice that no Christian should be involved in. Moreover, you're also right in that the Bible clearly does not teach reincarnation. The soul does not return dressed up in other bodies. Rather, what happens is the body is resurrected. So when we die, we don't come back in some other form, but rather when we die, we are absent from the body. We're present with the Lord as believers. And then when Jesus appears a second time, we return as unembodied spirits into bodies again that are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Hank, I agree with you 100%. But should I be afraid? I mean, other people found it interesting in the Bible, this man interesting. I didn't. I'm so scared that false prophets or someone's going to try to pull me away from the Word. But I think I'm grounded in it enough that I'm bold. I speak up for God, and I said, please show me in the Bible.
Well, and that's exactly what you should be doing, Bonnie. I mean, that's modeling what you ought to be doing. Now, first of all, don't be afraid, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the power of God to preserve is far greater than the power of Satan to plunder. Secondly, I think the very tact you use is the very tact that I would recommend. So you did it precisely as I think we're called to do it, which is to say, show me where that principle has any validity in the Word of God. Now, you not only are going to find out that they can't show you that, but conversely, as I just pointed out, you can show them the opposite, the inverse of that, which is to say that we should not be involved in those detestable practices because they take us away from the Lord our God. The Lord does not want us to communicate with the dead. Rather, the Lord wants us to communicate with Him. And when we ourselves die, then we will have an opportunity not only to be in fellowship with God, but also in fellowship with those who are departed. In the meantime, we run the race knowing that we are surrounded by those who went before us in the sense that they are witnesses to us, not that they can watch us, but they are witnesses. Their lives are testimonies as the lives of the great men and women in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 are?
Hank, yeah. I want to be able to show him tomorrow. We meet again tomorrow. Was it Deuteronomy chapter 18?
Yes, that's correct. You can start around verse 9.
Verse 9.
Yeah.
Okay, Hank.
And if you want to hang on, I can send you some information as well, or someone can pick up the phone and alert you to some information that we have in articles in the journal that we can either alert you to in terms of where they are on the web or just send you a copy of.
Okay, I'll hang on. Hank, he showed us a picture of this medium, and I got to thinking later, I almost didn't want to touch, that's going a little extreme.
Yeah, you don't
part,
have to be superstitious. Again, the thing is, finally be strong in the Lord, says Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God. So if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. Of course, if you don't, you're a guaranteed casualty. So we who stand for truth, as you're standing for truth, do not have to worry about the plundering power of Satan, but rather the preserving power of God.
Thank you very much. I'll hold on, Hank.
You got it, Bonnie. Thank you so much for your call, and we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I look forward to answering more questions right here, Lord willing, tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.